You are listening to Waters Church Podcast. Waters Church is a multi-site, multi-generation community of faith on the East Coast of America. Now, for a message from our pastor.
We are in a series of messages called How To, and we have been talking about the basics of life. If you remember, part one of this series was how to be a man. Part two, I preached from here in Apollo Beach how to be a woman. And then I preached how to be married, how to be married longer, how to not be married, how to be a parent was last weekend. And this weekend we are closing out with this title, How to Be a Leader. How to be a leader. So take out your notes. If you don't have paper notes, you can still go to waterschurch.guide. And if you're online, you can go to waterschurch.guide. It looks like that. You click on today's message and it'll pop down a little fill-in-the-blank section there so that you can participate in this message as well. Again, those of you online, so glad that you're with us as well. But today is Father's Day, and I wanted to say something about this series that's going to be very pertinent to the topic of how to be a leader. And that is that I don't like to open up with bragging about myself in the sermon, but I'm going to make an exception this week. I think that I have offended more people in this series than any other series in my church's history, in this church's history. Yeah, that's the humble brag right there. We've had people get up, whole families get up and walk out as I've preached and think about the topics that I've preached about in this series. This is what has been so offensive in people's minds that they have to get up and walk out. How to be a man, how to be a woman, how to be married, how to be a parent. And what I thought about is that this is the problem with our society right now. This is the problem with our culture. Our culture has such a deep-seated rot that when you start talking about what the Bible says about men and women, people literally cannot handle the truth. I think about Jack Nicholson. You can't handle the truth. Amen. I mean, that's our culture right now. And I think, here's the deal. I mean, these foundational issues about being men, being women, being parents, being married, they hold a country together. Amen. America could have all the nuclear arms it wants. It could blow up its enemies, but it cannot heal the human heart. We will lose this country if we don't save the family. Amen, somebody. Amen. To raise up mighty men, mighty women, mighty dads in Jesus' name. One more time, let's give a hand to all the dads in the house. Come on. Dads matter. Now, it's really not rocket science. One of the same statements that I said in part one of the series about how to be a man, and this was offensive to some. We even got a negative review on Google over this. I said, all right, this is very, be prepared, very offensive language coming out. Okay. I said, men and women are different. Yeah. They are different. And people don't want to admit that, but they are. They're different. They're just different biologically. They're different emotionally. They're different in all kinds of ways. And we got to be honest about that and teach the truth of God about that, because there's more confusion about the basics than ever before. Here's the reality. If you have children, you know that men and women are different. Boys and girls are not the same. 3 seconds of having one of both and you know. So I am privileged to tell you that I am an expert in this field. I have 3 children. One baby girl, who is actually not a baby anymore. She's 22 years old and she's living on her own. Praise Jesus. And then I have a son and another son who is still dependent on us. But nonetheless, I have 2 boys and a girl. They are different. It is Father's Day. My daughter went out of her way to send me a card a week in advance. I got my Father's Day card a week in advance of Father's Day from my precious daughter, who lives 8 hours away. That means that she mailed it. That's a lot harder than just leaving it on the counter, amen? And she didn't just mail it, but she wrote on the left side, the left blank side of the card. How many know they really love you when they fill in the left side of the card? You know what I'm talking about? They don't just say whatever Hallmark says, signed me, right? They fill in that side. She filled in the whole page. She talked about how good of a dad I've been, and amen. She was so spot on, amen. She put not one, not two, she put three gift cards to my favorite restaurants in the car. I mean, I'm like, ooh, this daughter is on fire. And she, again, a week in advance. That's what girls do. Girls and women, you think, you plan, you prepare, you are thoughtful. My son, my 20-year-old son, got up this morning and handed me this. Half drunk. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I didn't finish it. That is the proof positive that men and women are different. And it's just crazy that we live in a country, we live in a culture where that is offensive. People can't handle that fact. Which brings me to our talk today. There is such a deep cultural rot in our society that if you don't learn how to be a leader, you will follow the insanity all around you. So write this down at the top of your notes. Here's the choice that I think God's word offers us every day. Lead in life or follow this world. Lead in life or follow this world. That's the choice we all have to make. Because yes, this culture is not all Christian. And it is putting a hook in way too many Christian homes. I'm not talking about non-Christians. They are going to be non-Christians. I am not sent to pastor non-Christians. I'm sent to pastor people who believe Christ is the way. And we've got to be guardians at the gate of our own hearts and our own lives. Listen, to not let this culture get its hooks in our homes. We're fighting a spiritual battle. We're fighting a war for our souls. And I think that the only thing necessary for you to lose the battle that's coming against you, your family, your children, is to just ignore it and pretend it's not real. My friends, it's real. Now, I believe old school religion. Are you ready for some old school religion? Are you ready? I believe this is the word of Almighty God. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe he was put on the cross for my sins. I believe he died a real human death. I believe they buried him in a real tomb 2,000 years ago. But I believe he came out of that tomb 2,000 years ago and he really ascended to the right hand side of God the Father, and he ever lives to pray and intercede for you and for me. I also believe he's coming back. I believe victory is in his hands. I believe the end of the book is written. Jesus wins. We're okay no matter what we feel right now. But the flip side of all that is I believe in a real devil. I believe in real demons. I believe in real spiritual forces that are targeting your lives, your minds, your hearts every single day. And so you got to have your guard up. Somebody say guard up. You got to be ready. You got to lead yourself or you'll fall for anything this world has to offer you. Well, Joshua is a great place to go to. Joshua chapter 1, because we got a guy named Joshua who's taken the leadership reins from Moses. Now, Moses is a significant character. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he's a significant character in the Bible. He wrote the first 5 books of our Bible. He was God's man to deliver God's people Israel out of Egypt. He stood down Pharaoh with a shepherd's staff, stuck his staff in the ground, said, "Let my people go." Led Israel out of bondage through 10 powerful plagues. Not only led them out, but led them through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. He brought manna from heaven. He brought water out of a rock. Yes, God did it, but Moses was the vessel that God used to accomplish it. And then God said, "Your time is up. You're not going into the land. I'm handing the leadership reins of my people over to your assistant, Joshua. Joshua, it's time for you to step up and lead." And it's one thing to do what God wants you to do. It's another thing to do what God has asked someone great before you to do what they just did. How, and this is a big question for Joshua, how do you follow the greatest of all time, the GOAT? Contrary to people's imagination, Tom Brady is not the GOAT. Moses was the GOAT, amen? And so I think about this because I did watch Tom Brady's retirement ceremony this past Wednesday, because I'm a born and bred New Englander. Come on, New Englanders in the house. Tepid applause for the New Englanders. Okay. But I'm born and bred New Englander, rooted for the Patriots my whole life. Still rooting for them, even though they're having some tough times right now. I believe that they are going to make a big comeback. Anyway, that's for another message. Anyway, I watched the retirement ceremony. It was a bit long. It was a bit much. But Tom's speech was powerful, because what he said in the speech can help every single one of us. Because what he said was, you don't have to be special to accomplish great things. Here's the direct quote from his speech that night. And I think it's good sermon material. He said, quote, understand this, life is hard. How many know life is hard? How many know Christian life is harder? It's hard. So he said, understand this, life is hard. And no matter who you are, there are bumps and hits and bruises along the way. And my advice is, prepare yourself, because football lessons teach us that success and achievement come from overcoming adversity. Listen to that line again. Success and achievement come from overcoming adversity. That's how you succeed, and you got to overcome the things that are coming against you. Then he says, to be successful at anything, the truth is you don't have to be special. You just have to be what most people aren't. Consistent, determined, and willing to work for it. No shortcuts. Man, I'll tell you, Pastor Tom Brady could preach. I mean, stick to your lane, Tom. I'll take it from here. Amen, somebody. But that's a good lesson for all of us. Life is hard. Hey, the Christian life is even harder. And some of you, you're following the world because you've never led yourself in life. And some of you feel overwhelmed. How could I be a leader? You can be a leader. And Joshua chapter 1 is a great starting point, because Joshua was following the greatest leader of all time. How do you overcome that mental block? How do you overcome following Moses? I got 3 points, then we're done. Number one, write this down. Leadership starts by knowing you're serving God. Write it down. Leadership starts by knowing you're what? You're serving God. Now, this is so important that God lays it out in the first two verses of Joshua's book. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, what's the next line, everybody? The servant. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. I like the fact that that's how it starts, because it doesn't say, after the death of Moses, the greatest man that ever lived. After the death of Moses, the one who did all these miracles. After the death of Moses, the one who divided the Red Sea. No, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, Moses' assistant, Moses, what? Underline, my servant is dead. God is kind of laying the groundwork for Joshua right off the bat. Joshua, don't get starry-eyed when you think about Moses. Don't get your head in the clouds. Don't think that you got to be like Moses. Because here's what Moses was. Are you ready for it, Joshua? He was just my servant. And I want to tell you guys that if you want to lead a life of godliness, it doesn't start by having special gifts, special talents, good looks, lots of money, lots of friends. No. Do you know where it starts? It starts by saying, all I am is a servant of the Most High God. I'm here to serve His purposes. Where I am, with what I am, with what I have, I don't have to compare myself to anybody else. I don't have to look at somebody else's life. I got to lead my life and serve God in my days, in my generation, in my place. It's that simple. Because if we stop seeing ourselves as servants, we'll start competing with each other. We'll start angling at each other. We'll start looking for position and power and prominence, titles and position, all these things that people chase after all their lives. Look, all at the end of the day, all we are as God's people are servants of God, which means, listen, you're not a servant of people. You're not a servant of other people's opinions. You're not a servant of this country. You're not a servant of your company. You are a servant of God in the company. You are a servant of God as a friend. You are a servant of God as a father, as a mother, as a student. That's a way to see life. I think that just kind of like levels the playing field and stops putting all this pressure on us to live up to somebody else's expectation. All I'm doing is serving God where I am. One of my friends is named Joe Kim. Joe Kim is an assistant coach for the Patriots, and I love this guy. And he has a great line. He says it like this: our jobs are camouflage for serving God's purposes. That's all there. They're just camouflage. We put on engineer clothes, or we put on architect clothes, or we put on, you know, public school teacher clothes, or we put on, you know, construction worker clothes. And then we go into that, and that clothing that we put on as workers or as students or as teachers, it's just camouflage to say, God, use me in this situation. Paul the Apostle had this mindset, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. He was talking to a church that was jockeying for position. Some loved Paul, some loved Peter, some loved Apollos. And Paul says, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We're just what? We're just servants. That's what Pastor Tim Hatch is. I'm a servant of God. That's all I am. Some of you, you look at me and you're like, wow, he's really got it together. No, I don't. I don't got it together. I got God in me. I got the Holy Spirit working in me. I got the Lord Jesus ahead of me and beside me and behind me. He's my champion. He's my leader. He's also my brother, and he's my forgiver, and he's my intercessor. And who I am is because of who he is. And it becomes really simple in life when you see yourself as a servant instead of trying to live up to everybody else's expectation, even your own expectation. In Matthew chapter 20, when the disciples were jockeying for position and titles and importance, Jesus says this to them in verse 26. He says, whoever would be great among you must be servant of all of you. That's really what it comes down to. Just give your life to serve others. And let all that stuff that the devil puts in your mind, you got to be more like them. You got to live up to their expectation. You got to be more like your older brother. You should be more like your father. Why aren't you more? No, stop all that. I am here to serve God with what I am, who I am, and what I have inside of me. And when I see it that way, life gets a whole lot easier. Some of you, the problem is not that you're focusing on the great people in your past. The problem is you're focusing on the pain of your past. You're focusing on all the hurts and the hardships, all the setbacks. You're missing your future because you're frustrated over what happened 15, 20 years ago. And you're thinking, man, I can't get over that. I can't let that go. That's hurt me. That's held me back. All right, I get it. We all have things in the past, some worse than others. But I believe that God can bring us out of hurts in the past and use them for his purposes. Amen, somebody? I believe that God uses dead things to bring out new life. And then I thought about this story about one person named Charlie Chaplin. How many remember Charlie Chaplin? If you're over 40, you remember. Okay. He was a black and white silent film star. But many people don't realize that before he was a silent film star, he was a comedian. He was a stand-up comedian. And I heard the story, he used to end his show the same way wherever he went. He would tell a joke and the audience would laugh. And then he would tell the same exact joke and the audience would laugh a little less. And then he would tell that same exact joke a third time and no one would laugh. And he would end his show by saying this, isn't it interesting how we won't laugh and laugh at the same things, but we will cry and cry over the same hurts. Maybe we need to move on from what's hurt us in the past. Maybe we need to let go of what somebody didn't give us, or how somebody let us down, or somebody hurt us. I mean, man, we can all stand up here all day and go over all the things that we messed up or other people messed up for us, but at some point we gotta take up arms in Jesus Christ and overcome the things of our past, knowing that God is working all things together for our good, and he's got the whole world in his hands. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. Number two in your notes, write this down. Leadership grows out of time alone with God. And this is what Joshua really caught on to early on in his life as he followed Moses. Moses actually gave him a standard to live by. First, verse 2, it says, go arise over this Jordan, you and all this people. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. And I think about that picture. Like every time Joshua took a step, he was taking a step of God's favor over his life. Here is what Christianity is. It's a walk with God. It's a walk with God. Now, here's the question. Are you spending time with God? Because life can get busy, pull you in all kinds of different ways, distract you, depress you, you know, get all into your head and make you all confused. Okay, look, all that stuff comes at me too. All that confusion, all that envy, all that jealousy, all that stuff that comes up in your heart comes up in my heart. It's a decision that you've got to make on a daily basis. Are you ready? Make a decision every day to spend time with God. Do you have a devotional time with God? What do I mean by that, devotional time? I mean a time where you say quiet to the world, where you take this little devil device right here, you take this little distraction device, and you put it aside, and you pick up, get yourself an old school paper Bible, and pick it up and ask God to speak to you through His Word. You say, I don't know, I don't understand it. Okay, here's the good news about this Bible. Are you ready? The Holy Spirit wrote this Bible through people, and He inspired them to write it. Now, if you're a Christian, you've got that same Holy Spirit living inside of you, and He can live inside of you in such a way that He can help you understand what He wrote through somebody else. He helps you read this. So here's what you need to do. You need to first pray and ask God to open up the Word to you and make it clear to you. And then you read it and He starts to speak to you. And I'm telling you, something wonderful will start happening. God will put some seeds in you that you didn't have previously. He'll put seeds of confidence in you. He'll put seeds of forgiveness in you. He'll put seeds of mercy and goodness in you as God's Word gets into your heart and starts to change you from the inside out. Well, Joshua learned this by watching Moses do it. Joshua's story and leadership doesn't start in Joshua 1. It starts way back in Exodus chapter 17. He's freshly out of Egypt, out of slavery, and he fights a battle against the Amalekites, and he's a mighty warrior overnight because God gave them that grace. But he knew that to last long term, he needed to do what Moses did. Look with me back in Exodus chapter 33 at what Moses did on a regular basis. It says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp. And he called it the tent of what? Everybody say that word? Now, who was he meeting with? Now, look at the picture. Moses used to take the tent. He used to wrap it all up. He used to go way out far. The Bible makes it clear to say this. Far off from the camp where all the people were, where everybody that he had to lead was. And he would disconnect. He would create distance. And then he would set up the tent. And the Bible says in verse 9, when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. That's a picture of God's presence. And the Lord would speak with Moses. So who is Moses meeting with in the tent of meeting? With God. Can I ask you a question? Do you have a tent of meeting in your house? Not a physical tent, of course. I'm talking about a place where you go to pray with God. Maybe you don't have a place like that in your house because you got 6 kids and 3 bedrooms. I know how that works. Do you have a car? Do you have a place where you can just kind of get away from everybody else and meet with God? Do you know why Moses needed to meet with God alone, away from all the people? Because back in the camp were 600,000 complaining Israelites. You got 600,000 people of your own blood waiting to complain and criticize you and chastise you. I mean, he faced so many criticism. He faced so many challenges of his leadership. His own sister and brother turned on him at one point. And this guy was just constantly attacked. That's why he needed to separate, get alone with God, and spend time listening to the Lord. And now look what it says here in verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not what? Depart from the tent. You know what Joshua developed early on in his life? Listen to me, young people. Listen to me, teenagers. A time alone with God. Get alone with God so that when you get back out into the world, you've got His presence with you. You've got His truth in you. You've got His wisdom up in your mind. By the way, I believe that we need to do this now more than ever before as the world gets darker and darker. In Daniel chapter 11, Daniel describes what I call the last days, the tribulation, the 7 last years of human history. And he talks about it like this in verse 32. He says, forces from him. Who is that him? I believe that's the Antichrist, the leader of the world that will make a covenant with Israel and then break that covenant 3.5 years in. He says, forces from him will appear and profane the temple and fortress, and he shall take away the regular burnt offering and he shall set up the abomination that makes desolate. Now, what that's talking about is there's a world leader that's coming, and I believe this with all my heart. There's a world leader that's coming. He's going to make a covenant with the nation state of Israel. It's a 7-year covenant, and halfway through that covenant, that agreement, he's going to break it, and he's going to bring in a statue of himself or some god that he worships, and he's going to establish himself as the king of Israel and the king of this world. And all the nations, he's going to seduce them. Look what it says in verse 32. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant. Now look at that. That's the world chasing after one world leader. Isn't it amazing how people can get caught up and chase one person, one leader, to be the leader of all leaders, to save them from this, you know, hideous world? That's exactly what this world is going to look like at the end times. And everybody who is not in Christ is going to be seduced by the flattery of this leader. But look at the last part of the verse 32. But the people who know their God shall what? Stand firm and take action. Who's going to stand firm? The people who know their God. Who's going to take action in the last days? The people who know their God. Do you want to stand strong? You've got to know your God. You've got to know your God. So how do I get to know God? Well, the same way that I get to know my wife, I spend time with her. Imagine if I only saw my wife for an hour on Sunday morning. How do you think my marriage would be? How about if I just checked in? Hey, honey, how you doing? Good to see you. I'll see you next Sunday. That's it. Like that kind of relationship would be weak. We wouldn't have a basis of confidence in each other. We wouldn't know how each other lives. But when I spend time with my wife, I live with her, I talk with her, we develop a harmony. The Lord wants that with you. Some of you don't realize this. You don't even think like this. You think, oh, this is for preachers to do so that he can tell us what God wants. No. This is for you as well. You can have an intimate, close relationship with God. By the way, it's getting crazy out there. You need a relationship with God that keeps you sane. Amen, somebody. Amen. I got two news stories. I can't believe I got to tell you these news stories. One of them is absolutely hilarious and sad and tragic at the same time. Listen to this story. The Los Angeles City Council removed no U-turn traffic signs in a gay neighborhood, citing that the signs were homophobic. Really? The no U-turn sign, somehow that's homophobic. I don't know how that works, but this is our country. This is our culture. You better get alone with God or this country is going to make you crazy. Another story. In the state of California, they passed Assembly Bill AB 1955, and it banned school districts from requiring teachers to notify parents when a child is transitioned to another gender by the school system. It's going to be illegal in California to tell parents that their child is being transitioned in the school system. You say, what does that have to do with us? We're in Florida. Listen, friends, California influences the rest of the country. It really does. And it seduces this country through media and pop culture and all kinds of television programming. Listen, you better know your God so that you can stand firm and take action in Jesus' name. And say at the end of your life, as Joshua says at the end of his book, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't speak for my neighbors. I can't speak for all the people that I don't know or all the crazies in this country, but I'm talking about my home. My home, Christ is King in my home. Christ is King in Waters Church. Can I get a good amen right there? All right, number three. Leadership flows from inward strength, from God's word. Now, some of you don't understand why I press this so much about studying and knowing God's word is because it gives you strength. It gives you internal confidence. Verse 6 in chapter 1, be strong and courageous. Look at how I had underlined and bolded the word and, because those are two sides of the same coin, strength and courage. Let me give you the English definition of strong. To be strong means you are able to withstand great force or pressure. To be strong means that you are able to withstand great force or pressure. That's what strength is. What's courageous or what's courage? Courage is defined as being strong, alert, bold, and not deterred by danger or pain. Not deterred by danger or pain. And strength, able to withstand pressure. Hey, if you're going to stand for Christ, you're going to need both. You're going to need to be able to stand against pressure
And you're going to need to be not deterred by pain.
The reason why God says be strong and courageous, and not just be strong or not just be courageous, is because both pressure and pain are coming your way. Happy Father's Day, everybody. I don't know what your future holds, but I do know there's pressure coming. I do know there's pain coming. I do know there's trials coming. I do know there's going to be things coming against you that you did not expect to come against you. But here's what I also know, that in Christ Jesus, as the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him and give you the strength to withstand and press through no matter the pain, no matter the pressure, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, how do you do that? It doesn't happen just by checking in with God 1 hour a week in church. You've got to develop a time in God's word alone. So write this down. How do I develop inward strength? Well, Joshua is given this game plan in the last couple of verses that we read today. Letter A in your notes there, I want you to write this down. Keep God's word. Keep it. What does that mean? That means do it. You don't grow in Christ just by knowing God's word. You grow in Christ by doing God's word. Jesus said, now that you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So Joshua is told from the Lord, only be strong, verse 7, being careful to do according to all the law. In other words, do what God says. Now, with every decision that you make, you've got three choices. Choice number one, God's way. Choice number two, your way. Choice number three, the world's way. Which way are you going? You're going to be faced with this on every day of your life. So you show up at work, and maybe this is your story. And so-and-so wants to have another flirt session with you. And they're not your spouse. And you like to, you know, just kind of like tease that appetite a little bit. It's harmless. It's not going to hurt anything. I'm fine. That's the world's way. Your way might be, well, I'll do it a little bit, but not too much. That's your way. Here's what God's way is. Flee sexual immorality. Don't mess with it. Don't dip your toes in the water. That stuff is toxic. Don't have the flirt set. You walk away. I know that girl. I know that guy. He's going to try to take me away. He doesn't love me. He doesn't love my children. He doesn't love my future. He's going to kill my life, my future, my children. I need to walk with God. I need to walk away from that temptation. Same thing with money. There's God's way. There's your way. And there's the world's way. The world's way is get all you can and hold on to it because it defines who you are. Your way might be I'll give a couple of bucks to God, but most of it's mine. And God's way is it's all mine. It's all mine. I want you to trust me with it. Bring the first fruits, the first tenth to the house of God, and then watch me multiply the rest and bless your life. Every decision that you make, you got three options. God's way, your way, and the world's way. Now, here's what I know. The world is stupid. I'm not good enough, but God's way is always right. So let's do it that way. And I'm telling you, God will make you strong and courageous in your life. Number or letter B in your notes, guard God's word. Now the reason why I say guard is because the devil is going to try to manipulate God's word. Right from the Garden of Eden, we see the devil twisting and manipulating God's word. The Bible tells us that God said to Adam, from one tree, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Don't eat from that one tree. The devil shows up in the Garden of Eden and he slithers in as a serpent and he says, let me get this straight. Did God really say that you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, what does he do there? He doesn't come right out and say, eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, he manipulates the word of God, doesn't he? He just puts a slight twist on the word of God. The devil does this all the time. He does not come out with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. He layers deception with manipulation of the truth. It's a half-truth. How many know a half-truth is a full lie? That's what the enemy does. And he tries to do this with your life. You got to guard it. So you got to get familiar with it. You got to listen to how it really is and not veer off and stretch it and try to find the loopholes inside of it. You know, it's Father's Day. I remember this story from some people who came to my church many years ago. And I was a young pastor. And I'll tell you, in my younger days, I was like firm, firm, firm. I would preach hard, hard, hard messages. And I remember this one guy, and he was a great guy, but he was dating a girl in our church. And it came up and they were living together. And I kept telling them, listen, you're not doing it God's way. You're not doing it. You got to get out of the house. You got to stop living together and honor God and he will bless that. And so they did. They moved out and they stopped sleeping together because they wanted to honor God. They were new to the faith. They wanted to honor God. So I'll never forget this. He calls me up. It's the night before Valentine's Day. And I get this call. Pastors get the strangest conversations. He calls me up. He says, Pastor Tim, I got a question. I've done everything God's way. We're not sleeping together, but tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And I'm wondering if you could give me a hall pass just for tomorrow. I kid you not. Pastors have the craziest conversations. I said, are you kidding me? Do you want me to really take God's word and flip it upside down just for your horniness right now? Are you insane? Anyway, long story short, they didn't get the hall pass, praise God, and they've been married for about 15 years and they still are today. Amen. Amen. Do it God's way. Don't let the devil manipulate you by twisting and turning God's word. Letter C, speak God's word. Speak it. Say it out loud. Look what God says to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your what? What does that mean? It means you got to say it. So we're really good at reading it, or not so much some of us. We're really good at studying it, but have you ever thought about the power of speaking God's word out? I believe that when you speak God's word, the atmosphere in the spiritual realm all around you shifts. I do believe that. Now, the point here is I got to have it in my heart so that I can speak it out on a regular basis. And I think that some of you got to get into the habit of confessing truth from God's word over your life. For instance, I like to confess on a regular basis that all things are working together for the good of my life because I'm called according to the purposes of God. Where do I get that phrase from? Romans 8:28. I like to confess that greater is he, I like to say this out loud, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Where do I get that from? That's from 1 John 5:18. I like to confess that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son for me, that if I believe in him, I shall not perish but have everlasting life. Where do I get that from? John 3:16. There's passage after passage after passage. You can do this with on a regular basis. I like to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:19. I like to say this over my life. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Where does that come from? Philippians 4, verse 8. What I'm trying to tell you is that passage after passage after passage of God's word, you got to speak that into your atmosphere, and I believe it'll bring peace and confidence and strength and courage into your life. This is why God says to Joshua, don't let it depart from your mouth. Hebrews 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and active. There's a power to this word. Romans 10, 17, the faith comes by hearing God's word. When I speak it, I'm hearing it. When I speak it, the devil's hearing it. The devil, the demons are hearing it. The spiritual forces of wickedness are hearing it. And they know that I got a good confession that they can't take away from me. Amen, somebody? Now, are you ready? I don't know if you're ready for number four or letter D on this. This is old school preaching. I mean, this is old school, old fashioned religion. I don't know if we all got the guts for this one. Do you got the guts for this one? Yeah. No, see, you don't have the guts for this one. I'll just skip it. Let me try again. Do you got the guts for this one?
Yeah.
All right, that's much better. All right, that's much better. All right, letter D, memorize God's word. Ooh, preacher, now you're getting a little bit much. Really? Memorize it? Yeah, memorize it. You say, oh, pastor, I can't memorize stuff. You don't understand. I was a bad student. I can't memorize. Okay, let me test that theory. Are you ready? I pledge allegiance of... Ooh, looks like you can memorize certain things. Oh, say, can you see? Look at you. You can memorize things. You just got to commit to it. How do I know how to peel off verses of scripture that are not in my notes and not on the back screen. How do I know? I spent time memorizing it. I've read it. Now, I know it's Father's Day. And it's like, man, me challenging dudes to read is like a losing battle. Guys don't like to read. I've written 2 books. None of the men in the church have read them. So here's what I challenge you guys to do, because this is what I do. I take out my phone in a good way. And here's what I do. I got my Bible app right here. It's on my front page right here. I open it up. Look at what it opens up right to. It's a reading plan that I started 6 months ago. It's called Reading the Bible in 6 Months. Every morning, here's what I do. Because my demanding, ridiculously obnoxious boxer dogs need a walk every morning. So I get the leashes and I get this and I put my earbuds in and I press play. And it reads it to me in my ears. And I start my day off with my boxer dogs and my God. Amen, somebody. And it just gets in, and it just gets in, and it just gets in. And it starts to get into that place where I don't have to look it up anymore. It's just there, I remember it. And to this day, I, as a pastor, learn and see and find new things in God's word that strengthens my life. And it can do it for you as well. Because the word of God is living and active. When we meditate, verse 8 says this, when we meditate on it, now to meditate on it means you put it in your mind, and you put it in your mind again, and you put it in your mind again, day and night. It says you will become prosperous and you will have good success. I don't know about you, but I want some prosperity and I want some success. There's no special talent required. Just God's word. Sermon in a sentence. Leadership is developed in my life when I see myself as a servant of Christ and I spend time getting strong in God's word. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to serve you. I don't have to live up to somebody's expectations. I need to just say, Lord, I'm here. You know me. You made me. Help me to serve your purposes in my life until I die or you come again. And while I'm here, I'm taking this out and I'm putting it in so that I can be strong for my family, so that I can be a man of God. Or ladies, you can be a woman of God, or you can stay married, or you can be single, or you can raise those kids in the fear of Jesus Christ. The enemy is real, the battle is real, but our God is greater and we can win in Jesus' name. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes at both of our locations that are watching this message? We're going to give you a chance to come to Jesus right now. If you don't know him right now, we're going to give you a chance at both locations. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want to pray for you. Then someone's coming out to do just that. Father, I ask that this word is sealed in our hearts, that we are strengthened in faith through the truth it reveals. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name.
Thank you for listening to this message from Waters Church. For more information or to visit one of our local assemblies, please visit waterschurch.org. God bless and have a great day.